CBB presents. I would bring The Big Lebowski, The Hangover, and Reservoir Dogs, Alex says before he chugs the rest of his espresso martini. It's Laura's turn now. This is hard, she says. But I guess I would bring the Sex and the City movies and Wonka, because you know I'm a Chalamet bae. Everyone laughs, even though we know she's not kidding. She has 5 restraining orders out against her for stalking him during the filming of Dune 6, the one with all the dunes. We're at my friend Katie's house for game night, and things are getting pretty silly. Trader Joe's mini quiches, bathtub sangria, and a plate of vegetables no one will touch. You're up, Lily. What 3 movies would you bring to a desert island? Go. I guess I'd take The Iliad, War and Peace, and The Second Sex by Simone de Beauvoir. French edition, of course. Those aren't movies, Alex stammers. Yeah, those are books, Katie pipes in. Yeah, I don't really watch movies anymore, I shrug, pursing my lips together to the side of my face like a shy little cutie girl. I'd rather read a book than watch a movie any day. The group goes quiet. Until another game, Katie suggests. Never have I ever had a threesome, Katie says, embarrassed. We're sitting in the living room now, the fire lit, making the room feel cozy and warm. Does college count? Laura asks bashfully. Of course it counts, Brooke yells with a laugh. Laura puts down her last finger like a total slut that she is. It's my turn now. You're up, Lily, Katie says with an encouraging smile. Okay, never have I ever not read Nietzsche. What? Brooke asks. Never have I ever not read Nietzsche, I say with a coy smile. You've got to be kidding me, yells Laura, even though she's not playing the game anymore because she's a huge whore. Brooke rolls her eyes. What the fuck is she talking about? Inquires Alex. Katie tries to keep the peace. How about another game? She says with a smile. Katie is now wiggling around on the floor. She looks like she's doing the worm. Snake! Cobra! Brooke is onto something. Python! Monty Python! Yes! Katie jumps up from the ground with ease. You got it! They hug. Well done, you guys, I chime in, throwing my arms around them in celebration. They back away with contempt. You didn't even help. Yeah, you just sat there reading that huge book. It's not just a book. It's infinite jest, I say, a little shy of my intellect. This is actually my 5th time reading it this year. Shut up! No one cares! Katie's pissed at me now. You can't just sit there reading a book in the middle of a game of charades. What is wrong with you? Wrong with me? Now I'm pissed. Nothing is wrong with me for appreciating the written word, the feeling of the paper between my fingertips, the weight of the hard covers in my backpack. I will not be shamed for reading, not by you, not by Brooke, and definitely not by the world's biggest slutbag, Laura. I grab the 8 books, all over 400 pages that I brought with me. I walk out of the house, head held high. Games, movies, and friends might be fun in the moment, but books? Books are forever. Welcome to This Book Changed My Life. I'm your host, Lily Sullivan. And today we are talking about a very, very incredibly special book, Surviving Dawn, Mistakes I've Made, by a little-known author, Chrissy Tibbs. I'd like to welcome on my guests today. They are 2 dear, dear friends of mine who I look to for advice. That's actually how I met them both. I was just in a clothing store and they popped out from behind a rack, both of them, and they said, now that is a business top. And we got to talking and we have not stopped ever since. Please welcome my dear friends, Candace St. Dennis and Candy Victoria Nay Winston. You guys.
Hi.
So good to see you. It's just, I mean, I feel like we haven't seen each other in a bit. Am I wrong?
No, it's been, I think it's been about 2 years since we saw you.
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years since we met at the clothing store.
Yeah. And I see you're wearing the top.
I am wearing I'm wearing the top, the business top.
That's such a sweet, sweet gesture. That's so very Lily.
It means so much.
Oh my gosh, of course. I mean, are you?
Oh, okay?
Oh no.
No, I'm fine. I just have a little bit of an allergy.
What kind of allergy? It seems like, is it an allergic reaction to like food or?
No, it's just all the dust in the air.
Oh, she's allergic to a lot of things.
Oh, no.
No, I'm fine. I don't want any special attention or anything.
I remember this about you. You have like a sun allergy and dust. And sun.
It's called photosensitivity.
Oh. Thank you, Candy. Sun, dust,
cold water.
Cold water. Yeah. Now, how does that work? If I give you a glass of ice water, what would happen?
I would go into, what is it called?
Anaphylaxis.
Candy? Anaphylaxis.
Anaphylaxis, that's
anything
right.
Above 72 degrees.
72?
Or below 72 degrees.
Below 72? I mean, that's like relatively, like, that's like a glass of water, like a normal, I wouldn't even say that's cold water.
It's very dangerous. I have to bring my own water everywhere.
So you bring hot water everywhere.
I have to bring warm hot water everywhere, yeah.
She has a mug that heats it, one of those self, it's a USB charger mug.
Oh, cute. Yeah. So sweet. Candace, I mean, I want to hear a little bit more about your job, both of you actually, because you guys.
I don't work.
Well, I know. But you didn't you volunteer?
Yeah, Candy, you work. Come on.
I work. I work at being a human. I don't work. I want everyone to know I don't work.
Right. Well, your husband takes care of you, right? Financially.
One of them does.
Right. And the other one?
Dead.
That's right. How did he die again?
I'd rather not talk about it. I'm currently in a lawsuit.
It was a helicopter accident, right?
You said it. I just want my attorneys to know I didn't say it. It was an accident. It was an accident.
Well, but you were the only one in the helicopter.
I was the pilot.
It was on the news.
I know. I saw. It was like a huge case.
I'm not allowed. I'm not at liberty.
Okay. Well,
she's not at liberty to say, but I can say that. I just find it very tragic that Candy went and started, you know, taking flight classes, doing something so bold.
Yeah, so feminist.
So bold.
Thank you.
And something she's always, always, always wanted to do. And then, you know, an accident happens and her husband has to go and die. And now she's not allowed to fly.
I'm not allowed to fly.
That is such bullshit. So you can't even get on a flight just because your husband died while you were in the helicopter that you were driving?
And the irony is he died before we took off.
I know. Extremely ironic. He was stabbed to death. Like, it's crazy to me.
Extremely ironic. And now she can't fly? It makes me sick.
It doesn't make any sense. There shouldn't be any through line there. I totally agree. Big. So you're driving a helicopter and he gets stabbed to death.
And now she can't fly.
The science don't add up.
They don't add up.
Thank you. But you're the best friend I've ever had.
You're welcome.
You guys have been friends since, what was it, 82, 83?
83. We met in a fire. We were both working in an office building.
My feet were charred.
It caught fire. And
it started. Yeah, I remember this now. You two were in the office building because you were both working.
Typists.
That's right. Like secretaries.
I had just started doing reception.
I was just typing.
Right. And then, of course, the fire broke out, I believe. At your desk, wasn't it? At your typewriter. Oh, that's right. So, and then I remember that was on the news too, wasn't it?
It was. I'm not actually allowed to talk about that one either.
That it's just so funny that randomly your typewriter would go up in flames and the building would burn down.
Oh, it wasn't random. I believe someone set a device. I was targeted.
Oh, God.
By my ex.
No. The same one that was stabbed to death?
No, another one.
Oh, who's this one?
His name is Randall, and he's deceased.
He's the British one.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, he's Bahamian.
What does that mean?
From the Bahamas, but he has a British accent, so a lot of people think
that's right.
And you want to know something funny? He's not rich.
He wasn't. He was penniless.
Was he?
That's why I was typing.
That's so funny, because most of the time, the people that you've dated have been so wealthy, or married, I should say.
I don't have a type. I'm rich people's type.
That
is what I like to say.
Yeah, I wish I was rich people's type. I feel like all I attract are like literally poor losers. Like sad.
I can see that.
Sad improv guys who want me to like split the bill with them or buy them an Uber.
Do you carry cash?
I do carry a lot of loose change.
Oh.
Okay, that's why you're jingling and jangling all the time.
That's right.
Okay.
That's not exactly an abundance mindset, breaking up the dollar into many and just having it slosh around a pocket.
I think you're right about that. I need to move on to bills. I need to. Mm-hmm. What about you, Candace? Let's talk a little bit about your job now, because I find it so fascinating.
Yeah, my job right now is I'm a fitness trainer.
That's so interesting.
Yeah I do open ocean fitness training for women.
What does that mean, open ocean?
That means my husband and I take women out into the ocean. Excuse me. It just makes me smile to think about it. I help women grow.
Right.
By getting strong, by swimming in the ocean.
So you guys take them out. That's right. You go pretty far out in the ocean.
Several miles.
7 miles to be exact.
Jeez.
We go 7 miles out from shore. And my husband and I drop the participant into the water.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you just leave them there, right?
We move the boat about a mile and then they've got to catch up to us.
So they swim to you.
They swim to us.
That's right. And you don't give them any like floaties or anything.
You know, their first session, you'll get a floaty if you ask.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's super sweet.
Wow. And you guys, you feed them and stuff before they get in the water. Because sometimes they're in there for what?
They can be in there for days. They can.
The thing about being in the middle of the sea is you don't know which direction to go in. They're
Candy's
just off the curve.
You've done it.
Yeah. I had to be rescued.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
By like the Coast Guard or something? Or what?
Yes.
How long were you out there?
3 days.
3 days.
3 days. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's like.
It was liberating.
That feels like you'd go mentally ill out there.
But you know, you get your heart rate up and you burn a lot of calories.
I lost a lot of weight.
How much weight did you lose?
15 pounds just from the 3 days.
Oh, jelly.
How are you going to lose 15 pounds in 3 days?
Oh my God. Ozempic is how. I can't get it. But wow. I mean, you guys are so interesting. And then you bring me this book, which, to be honest, blew my mind. Surviving Dawn, Mistakes I've Made by well-known author Chrissy Tibbs.
Not enough people know about her.
Not enough people. So this was originally published in 1988.
Mm-hmm. Reissued in 2005. Mm-hmm. And that's the copy that we gave you.
Her daughter did the foreword for the reissue.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Misty, right?
Misty. It was very short. She's very angry with her mother.
Yeah, she was furious with her mother.
Furious.
It starts off the book.
Just
to my mother, I hope you die. But first, I hope you struggle. I hope it's a painful go.
And something about she'll never forgive her?
Yes. I will never forgive you. Love.
Love.
Misty.
That's the important part.
The love.
That's love. The important part.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this book is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's, I would describe it as memoir, self-help, a woman's cautionary tale.
It's everything. It's a rich resource.
Yes. And there's a couple of recipes in there as well.
That's right. It's a book of one woman's life, and we can all learn so much from it. I guess we can just get into it a little bit here. It starts with her. She lives in
On a ranch.
She lives on a ranch.
Yeah. With her dad, who she thinks is her father.
Who she
thinks is her father. And what she thinks is her mother, but is actually her sister.
That's right. Right. So her sister, and it's not her father either.
It's a man.
It's a man. It's a stranger, essentially. Mm-hmm. And her sister becomes involved with this man, and then they basically adopt her. And she has no idea what's going on. They're on this ranch. She's just milking the cows, and she's, you know, baling the hay.
And making clothes, feeding all the toddlers.
Churning butter.
It's very like a pure existence, right? And then one day she wakes up and she finds a note.
Oh my God, yeah.
The note.
The note.
In a buried mysterious in the handwriting. Mm-hmm.
A large note.
Huge note.
Huge.
Now that you say it.
A really big piece of paper. Some people thought that it was had been a kite that somebody had written it on, and then it was buried in the ground.
Carefully disassembled kite.
That's Candy. That's a wonderful point.
That is such a good point.
Yeah.
Carefully assembled. It was they took their time with this. It looked like one of those signs that you find at like, I don't know, TJ Maxx. like that are like home is where banner? The heart is.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
big piece of wood with all those like writings, like grandma's home, grandma's recipes.
Coffee first.
Those ones.
It looks exactly like coffee. That. Coffee first. Let's do coffee first.
First
and foremost, coffee.
First and foremost, coffee, but not before I've had my rosé.
Lily, I've never heard jokes like you've got.
I know. Well, I've been going to classes lately, so this is the payoff. This is the payoff of hard work.
That's very brave.
So she finds a note and says, your dad is not who you think he is. Your sister is not who you think she is. Mm-hmm. You are not your mom's not who you think she is. Yeah. She's your sister. It's time to go.
And at first she said, how do I even know this is for me? You know, because there are a lot of people on the ranch.
That's right.
It's hard to know.
There's a lot of people on the ranch.
Yeah. But, you know,
Did we get to the detail where it was slightly charred at one of the edges?
No, we didn't.
The note, that's going to come back.
It had clearly been lit on fire. That's very important
just
for charred, later.
Just a slight singe.
And so she leaves. She leaves the ranch. And by the way, have you guys spent a lot of time on a ranch?
I don't want to talk about it.
I have.
A ranch rat.
Tell me, you were a ranch rat?
Yeah. Yes, it was just me. It was just me and actually my mother on a ranch.
No way.
For the first 24 years of my life.
So you were like born on a ranch.
She had not met a single other person.
Besides my own mother until I was 24 years old.
What?
Yeah.
So it's just you all alone out there with your mom.
Yeah.
Braiding each other's hair.
Animals. Braiding each other's hair, braiding the animal's hair, giving birth to, not us giving birth to animals, obviously not, but yeah. Assisting in births for animals, for livestock.
Animal husbandry.
Thank you.
Well, so what does that mean, animal husbandry?
That means you're assisting them. You're like a doula for animals.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. You help them give birth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. By the way, I feel like
it's messy. It's messy and it's beautiful, just like life is.
Yeah, but it's filthy. I wouldn't want to be. You know, one time I was on a ranch, and this is a true story. I was walking with my family for a family reunion in Vermont on a beautiful, I'd say, farm. And we're walking by all these cows, and I turned back and one of the cows had just given birth and the afterbirth shot out at my brother. Almost hit him in the face.
Oh, people don't talk about it, but it's quite warm.
It's quite warm and it's quite dense and it shoots out. It could knock you out.
Picture a water balloon, but hot and really big.
And
that's afterbirth.
That's the afterbirth.
That's the afterbirth of a farm animal.
But shooting out at 200 miles an hour after out of there.
At his face?
At his face.
Wow.
Did any get in his mouth?
No, thank God. But it was close. It was very close. Never forget.
Oh, I had a bat fly into my mouth once.
No, you didn't.
During a particular, I was at an outdoor amphitheater and a particularly shocking part of the play, I had my mouth wide agape.
As you do when you see a good play. And jaw on the ground.
And a bat flew right into my mouth.
No. Did you eat?
Did I eat the bat?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
What'd you do?
Bite its head off? My mother handed me a small purse-sized bottle of Scope. I rinsed my mouth out and I went on and watched the rest of the play. What are you going to do?
Did you get rabies shots?
You were a kid, right?
I was a child, yes. So it didn't fly. The proportion of my mouth to the size of the bat wouldn't allow the bat to really lodge itself in there.
That's right. But it got in there. It got pretty deep.
I gagged a little.
Did you get rabies shots?
No.
You should have gotten those.
I've never had a rabies shot.
That's okay. You know, rabies can hit at any time.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
Suddenly, bam, you have rabies. This book, you guys. So she leaves the ranch. And where does she go?
Manhattan,
New York City. And she's at this point, you know, she's like 18, right? So she's like having her sexual awakening, I would say.
And then the book gets pretty deep into all of that.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
It's pretty graphic.
It's very graphic.
Really, really graphic. You know, sexual awakening with all sorts of.
She sleeps with all.
Every which way.
I believe it's all the Blue Man Group.
That is true. Oh. Okay. It makes much more sense to me now.
Oh, did you not know that?
I didn't understand that it was a show.
someone had to explain that to me. So, you know, I'm the first time I'm reading the book, I'm thinking, what?
Blumen?
What's going on?
Did you think, yeah, you were like, these are some aliens or something?
The aliens on Broadway.
That's what I thought. Have you ever had sex with someone on Broadway?
I have. I have. He's doing a solo show on Broadway.
Solo show on Broadway.
Are we talking about the theater establishment Broadway or on the street Broadway?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I was thinking about the theater, but if it's been on the street, I'd love
street. Yes.
Street sex.
Yes.
Whoa.
Candy.
I was in a changing tent.
Candy, I don't even know. I think I know this about you.
I was in a changing tent.
Tell me everything.
Yeah. Do you know those small changing tents for servers?
Yeah.
I was in one of those.
What, like at a vintage fair? Like, why?
I was shooting a local commercial, and the actor's holding was in a small alleyway, and the director just helped himself.
Oh my God.
That does not sound good, Candy.
You needed to... it's coming clear to me why this book is so important.
This book is so important for stories
so much of your life is mirroring
her. We ended up getting married. It wasn't that bad.
Well, that's good.
The beginning of love.
Really got me scared there for a minute. Obviously, but like, I feel like with Chrissy, like we're hearing these stories about her sexual escapades and her sleeping with all these men in power, all the blue men.
Immensely powerful men.
Very powerful. She wants to get in. She wants to be a performer like all a ranch girls, I think, do. Because you had a stint in acting.
I wanted to be a dancer, yeah.
Dancing is a form of acting. It's acting through the body and motion.
Thank you, Candy.
And movement.
That is true, yeah. Chrissy. God, there's a lot of C names.
A lot of C's, right? I didn't realize that.
Candace, Candy, and Chrissy.
So you're incredibly observant. Lily.
Thank you so much.
Incredibly observant.
You guys are so sweet to me. Being here with you is next fucking level. Two women I admire and who are older than me?
Quite.
Yeah. How old are you guys?
I am in my early 60s.
I'm 56.
Wow. Do you guys get work done? Because you look so young.
I get a lot of work done, yeah.
I just drink a lot of water.
No, it can't be all just because of water. You literally look like the Golden Bachelor lady.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Your jaw looks really unhinged. Literally.
There are mineral drops you can put in your water that helps.
Candy, be honest with me. This is an open space. You can tell me you got worked on.
There's also hyaluronic acid, which helps hold water in.
I mean, your eyebrows are tattooed on. Like,
oh, thank you.
You can be honest.
My mother.
Her lips are. Come on, Candace, back me up here. She got worked on.
You know, Candy's my best friend.
I know. That doesn't matter. She can be open about like
Lily. You know, this is something to talk about. It does matter.
It doesn't. I just want her to admit
any secrets about Candy and any work she's done. She drinks a lot of water.
You've literally been at the plastic surgeon office with her. You told me.
You would not believe the amount of water she's drinking every day. She's drinking 3 to 5 gallons of water every day.
That's too much water.
Day.
That is way too much water. She's going to drown herself.
Her kidneys are basically a clear glass. And you can't.
Have you tried
hyaluronic acid yet?
No, I haven't.
Well,
it's all fun and games right now, Lily, but you wait a couple years.
You guys, I just want you to know, like this book, watching Chrissy go on to
her business successes.
Her business successes. And then, you know, she does get a lot of plastic surgery. She says she admits to getting too much, she thinks. And I feel like, you know, doesn't that inspire you, Candy, to talk about your own plastic surgery?
I should admit, I did go to a plastic surgeon once to have a mole removed.
No, your tits look like Dolly's tits. How? Just say.
The mole was near my breast tissue.
Oh my God.
Which made it dangerous because a lot of people don't know that you can get breast cancer from a mole.
Which is why you needed medically required an entirely new set of tits.
So they removed one little mole and they thought, okay, I guess we'll put in quadruple Z's.
It was preventative care. No.
It was.
It was not preventative care.
It was. Talk to my doctor. Is this a medical inquisition?
Well, Brett's been to medical school. He stopped by.
Yeah, that all checks out. It looks totally natural to me.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. I've had plastic surgery. That doesn't look like plastic.
What have you had plastic surgery on?
I had a BBL.
Yeah, right. You've got the flattest ass I've ever seen in my life.
Well, is what we're seeing right now
in the front?
Post BBL?
No, that's the front.
So they put it on the front?
They put a BBL on your front. Yeah.
Because I'm new
that
to
that actually tracks because it looks like you had two big pockets stuffed full of shit all the time. I assumed you just had like four cell phones, but I guess you got a BBL in the front.
I also assumed you had four cell phones. I was impressed. Yeah. I said, that's a man I want to meet. How old are you, Brett?
I don't want to talk about that.
Seriously.
30s, 50s,
sure.
20s?
Yeah.
Candace, believe me, you don't want to go there. This guy's damaged. And I know that's attractive to you, but trust me.
I have healed so many young men.
Oh, so many.
So many.
Candace, I wanted to talk about this with you.
You know my partner's 25?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I do know that. You call him your Ashton.
Who?
Ashton Kutcher.
Who?
Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. Demi.
Oh, okay. Now I remember. Demi. Yes. Just like that.
Yes.
Did you want to ask me something?
Yeah, I just think like I know that you have been rumored to say, I wonder if you would admit to it here on the pod.
Oh,
are you sick?
I'm feeling just my allergies again. It's okay. I can answer your question.
It's a convenient time to have allergies. I'm just saying. Would you admit that you say that your pussy has single-handedly
transformed the lives
of over
thousands
of men? Do you still admit to that?
I do.
She likes to call it her flower, though.
That's right. Mm. And I wondered if you would go on record for saying that your pussy single-handedly.
My pussy. Tell me exactly what you want me to say. I'll say it. I'll say it right after you.
Your pussy.
My pussy.
Would have stopped 9/11.
Would have. My pussy would and could have stopped 9/11.
Why didn't it?
Yeah, why didn't it?
It still could.
It could.
Candy, it couldn't. She could. 9/11 already happened.
No, she could slip into another portal.
No.
She could and heal 9/11 with her pussy. She could. The research about in quantum physics about timelines, they have proven mathematically that wormholes exist. I maintain she still could.
I just don't even believe the magical quality, to be honest with you, because you told me like that one guy that you used to hook up with used to play baseball, then you had sex with him, and now he plays tennis.
Yeah, and? Well, I tell you something?
That doesn't mean he transformed his life.
Listen to this. I just went to the doctor.
Okay.
For my pap smear.
Good for you.
The doctor could not find what's the little thing that they put in and twist open?
Oh,
Speculum? Speculum? They could not find a speculum small enough for mine.
That's the power.
Not true.
Yes, it is.
No.
I was there.
They could have grabbed one for a nose if that was the case.
Well, they didn't have it in that space. It wasn't a nose doctor. So you try and tell me. Lily.
If it was that tiny, how does a dick even getting in there?
That's the transformation.
Oh, my God.
What is so hard to see about this? I think it's disgusting that you have us on here. And you pick fights.
I'm not picking fights.
Question.
Oh, no. She's sick again.
And you question, basically my reality.
I'm not.
You're gaslighting us on here.
I honestly didn't mean to do that.
I didn't expect that from you.
No, look, I'm sorry. I just, you guys talk a lot. You say a lot of stuff, like pretty grandiose stuff.
Yeah.
And I just wonder.
Our lives are grandiose, Lily.
I know. I just wanted to see if you would admit it on the pod. That's all. But obviously, I believe you, okay? I believe you. Your pussy has transformed thousands of men and would have stopped 9/11.
And one woman. I would say, and one woman, one very special little woman.
And I would say, by the way, that a man playing football to playing tennis is a transformation.
It is.
I would say that's
traumatic. Brain injury is being prevented.
It's a different body type.
It is a different body type.
It's a social sport that you can play throughout your life.
My pussy helped his hand-eye coordination.
I just don't think that that... Anyway, let's get back to the book. Ladies, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with you. I know almost every time we're together, it ends in a tragedy. And
yes,
I don't want that to happen. I don't want to go another 2.5 years.
I don't want to go another 2.5 years, and I don't want to get into another car accident.
Could we just take a moment to check in with the sensations in our body? I think that might help reset us.
Okay, I guess we can do that.
Candy loves to do this.
Are you gonna lead us, Candy?
Yes. Think about the bottoms of your feet. What speed? Excuse me. I'm having energy be released.
Do you guys have COVID? Like, what's going on?
We're not sure. If I don't until I'm, you know, I
we weren't into the whole COVID thing.
I wasn't into it.
What do you mean you weren't into it? You didn't believe it?
I didn't believe it. Didn't care about it. Didn't wasn't interested.
How does it affect me?
Thank you, Candy.
What do you mean, how does it affect you? It affects everybody on the planet.
She would call me every day for 2 years saying, now what does this have to do with me? And I would say, Candy, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It affected everybody. We were literally all stuck inside.
Were we?
Yeah.
Trust me, not Candy.
I wasn't.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you were... On that boat accident.
I was.
You were living on a boat.
It was, yes. It was a hard time for me, don't get me wrong, but that was because my husband was his health was failing.
That's right. He died.
He did.
He was apparently he drank a rancid milkshake. Is that right?
He did.
Horrific food poisoning.
And then, horrific food poisoning.
And then he was shot in the head.
But
yes.
He yeah. Well, the timing of it was, is that he was in the middle of killing himself.
Is that right?
Candy.
Are you allowed to say that? It feels like your lawyer would say.
No, that one's been settled.
So what happened? He was drinking the rancid, he was trying to kill himself with the rancid milkshake.
And then he also fell.
He fell and then he got shot in the head.
Yes, he had, he had the milkshake first. I had made him the shake. And then I didn't know his plans. He had already penned a letter. And then he was shooting himself in the head as the food poisoning was progressing.
Didn't they say that the letter looked a lot like your handwriting?
My handwriting is universal. Something you need to know about me is that when I was a child, I practiced a lot of different types of handwriting.
Oh, okay.
Because I think handwriting says a lot about one. So
that's a very radical idea.
Is
Thank
that?
You.
I feel like I've ever heard that.
You've heard that before?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Oh.
Guys, I'm sorry.
We're here to discuss
the
book.
Let's go back to the book. Yes. What was your favorite part of the book? If you had to guess. Because for me, I think when Chrissy's in New York and when she's like, she goes for her first big job interview at the office, and similar to both of you guys, starts as a secretary. Mm. And somebody goes, "Hey, Toots, can you get me I feel like it was a lasagna sandwich."
Yes,
and she says,
"A panini,
a panini,
a hot lasagna sandwich.
Panini, yes.
A lasagna
yes.
panini." She says, "I'm not doing that anymore." And then the guy slaps her across the face,
and then she picks up the sandwich, the panini.
Yeah.
And she slams it
into his face.
Into his face. And she says, "You," what does she say? How does she phrase it? She says, "You will never give me another task to do.
Ever.
Ever.
In mine own life."
And that's a very powerful sequence.
That was a huge sequence
huge
for me.
Huge sequence. And then she ends up in jail. And then ultimately she ends up with his position.
It actually worked out for her.
Mm-hmm.
Had she not gone to jail, she could not have been promoted.
Exactly.
Jail does wonders for one's course of life.
Have you been to jail?
Prison, not jail.
Prison, that's
federal penitentiary.
When was that?
2 years ago.
Right.
I helped her pack.
She did. She helped me close up my shop.
What can you bring in there? I don't think game.
Well, you know, obviously they're going to take everything, but it's still you want. you want to pack.
So how much did you guys pack?
We worked on my spiritual suitcase.
Her spiritual suitcase, certainly. But I think it's important to at least. Okay, here's the thing most people don't think about. When you leave jail, if you survive. What are you wearing when you leave? You're going to be wearing the clothes that you packed 2 years ago.
You need to think ahead.
So you guys were trying to guess what the fashion would be 2 years from then?
Exactly.
She was pretty accurate, too. Mm-hmm.
What'd you pack? A crop top?
A crop and wide leg jeans.
This was 2 years ago when you're 50 what?
Well, I'm in my 60s.
I don't want to be I don't want to be age shamed. You're revealing a little bit of implicit ageism.
I'm so sorry. I was surprised. I don't know a lot of like women in their 50s who are rocking a crop top and wide leg jeans.
Well, you do know.
2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Checkerboard crop.
Checkerboard. Oh, wow. This was like full Gen Z vibes going on.
Well, okay. Well, that crop was actually something that was in her garage that she was going to trash. And I think it just happens that Gen Z is wearing a lot of clothes that people were going to trash.
That look like trash. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think is what happened there. And it just was a happy accident.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the book,
please,
is when Chrissy asks for her divorce while scuba diving with her husband, who is very kind,
yep,
very successful,
yep,
but doesn't challenge her.
That's right.
You know, and I think it's really important to be with someone who just aggressively challenges you.
I couldn't agree more.
Mentally, spiritually, physically. Not physically. Mentally.
I know, like that was such an incredible scene too, because they're both underwater.
They're underwater. It's so beautiful.
They can't speak, obviously. Gorgeous. Light and dark, and these big fish are going by.
Dolphins are going by.
Whales. I mean, they were seeing everything you could possibly see. Such a beautiful moment. And she turns to him and she looks and she's like, she's thinking in her head, I can't be with this man anymore.
No.
And she starts to mime. Charade style.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I
need
body
a divorce.
Chills. And she kind of crosses her heart and then does a circle and then just a big X.
X. Big X. And then she points at him and she goes, big X. Mm-hmm. And she takes the wedding ring off.
Watches it just fall into an abyss of black at the bottom of the sea.
So dark, especially because it was a huge ring.
Huge, and it sank so quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly, that rock. And I remember afterwards, she was like, I regretted throwing the ring away because it was worth
it. It would have come in handy during the time of destitution.
Which came soon after.
Very soon after.
She was no longer in the support of a man. She needed to make a living on her own.
Yeah, she had to put her, what is it, money where her mouth is?
She had to put her big buck pants on, as I like to say.
Oh, I love that. Big buck pants, go out there. She worked the overnight shift at a truck stop.
In the shower section.
In the shower section for a couple years. That whole sequence actually was wonderful. It's very lighthearted.
It's very fun.
Very fun little section.
Like a little, almost becomes a Western. All these guys coming in, mm-hmm. all these truck drivers. And she talks about dancing at the hoedown bar with all of them.
Oh, late into the night.
Yeah, the camaradership.
It's gorgeous. And to be honest, it led me to one of my least favorite parts of the book, I'm curious what your guys' least favorite parts are.
I struggled with the pages and pages and pages of just describing internal sensations that she was having during that time period.
I agree.
The somatic tracking, the descriptions of the food moving throughout the colon. I struggle with that. I'd rather not think about my body and how it works.
That's right. She started having severe stomach issues. Mostly, I believe it was SIBO.
Small intestinal bacterial overload.
Overgrowth, yes.
Overgrowth.
And
she's the first documented case of SIBO.
This is 1988. This is early.
So for her to be talking about
radical diagnosis,
radical descriptions of what she was going through,
belching,
explosive diarrhea,
and then what she did to overcome, which is just she started elevating her feet.
That's right.
On the toilet.
Right.
And it changed everything for her.
So basically every time she would go to the bathroom, she would use one of the squatty potties.
Mm-hmm. But this was before then. So she actually used two large cans of beef stew.
Opened cans.
Perched herself. So she had to put, sometimes with the cans open, a coaster on top.
That's right.
To put her foot.
I mean, that was radical. She was radical in the squatty potty community.
That was my least favorite part, to be perfectly honest.
I didn't need it either.
I didn't like it.
I didn't need the details like that.
You know, endless chapters.
Multiple chapters.
She commented a lot about, I looked down at the toilet and it looked like a pile of beef stew, just like the two stews that my feet were on top of. I thought, I don't need this.
Yeah, I said, Jesus.
You guys, have you ever had any stomach issues?
No, my not once. Not one time.
Not once?
Never.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I have issues for sure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh. So you guys don't, I mean, you literally.
I eat food and it shoots right out.
Sounds so good. Sounds so healthy.
Yeah. I think it's important to mention, too, that this book is 40 pages long.
Oh, we haven't even said that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's short.
It's one of the shortest books, shortest adult books on planet Earth, I think.
Yeah.
Like, let me hear. I'll just go through it.
Some people call it an article.
That was a little book. But I feel like we should talk more about how this book went on, like the public reception for this book, because it was so important, because it was 1988.
Yes.
And here comes this radical feminist, mm-hmm. Chrissy Tibbs. She's giving us a window into what it was like to be a woman in the 80s at a level that we had not seen before this.
No, the rich inner life. I mean, to a cellular level.
Mm-hmm. Level. And I think we can kind of just talk about the ending. It was dark. To say the least, she's spent all this time going up and down the financial ladder. She has a kid, mm-hmm. with this man she does not love. Mm-hmm. She has Missy. She completely abandons her
with a bunch of animals.
She leaves her to be raised by squirrels,
which is harking back to her own childhood there on the ranch. But
which is a chilling reminder that you never outrun your past.
That's so true.
You cannot.
You know, devastating, especially for me to think about.
Yeah. So what's going on with you? Because I know that.
I'm trying to put on a happy face.
Someone's been unearthed in your past.
Mm-hmm.
I got your text where you said someone.
Oh, yeah. Someone has been unearthed from my past. It's not. Yeah. I know it was sick of me to text you after 2.5 years to tell you. I didn't even say hello.
You didn't even say hello.
I didn't say Lily. I didn't say anything. I sent you all lowercase. Someone has been unearthed from my past.
And I said,
who's this?
I said, who is this? I don't have this number.
And I said, it's Lily, please stop playing around. It's Candace.
And then you sent me about 15 massive paragraphs.
Back to back to back to back.
Which yes. I have to admit, I didn't get to because I had to finish the book before the pod.
Mm-hmm. And I sent them from my iPad.
That's right.
You're just relentless. She takes her iPad everywhere.
Everywhere. I can see it. Yeah, it's right here.
Mm-hmm. It's beat up.
It's yours. It looks like it's covered in food. Like, to be honest, it looks sticky from over here.
It is. It is. Yeah. So this book is it's really hitting me hard. And I think for me, what are we talking about? Where am I?
Wasn't it your son?
Yeah, it was my son. It was the son that I forgot that I had.
How could you forget?
Like, it's not that I...
Hypnobirth.
I had a hypnobirth.
What is a hypnobirth?
A hypnobirth is where they don't give you any drugs. You're in a natural body of water.
But like the ocean?
Like the ocean.
It could be a lake.
It could be a creek, a lake, a pond, anything.
Yeah, let's not discriminate. It could be a lake.
Yeah. You're in a natural body of water. You have a a therapist. Candy had just read about how to do the procedure, so she did it on me. She hypnotized
me. Did it?
I did it.
And I gave birth to a son, and I held him in my arms. We had a photo taken, and then
Were you pregnant before?
I believe, yes. I had to have
you
been.
You believe?
I had to have
you
been.
Couldn't you have seen it when you know you were pregnant? Oh, my laundry's done.
I hope you're air drying everything.
What is that?
Are you not air drying everything?
You think I should be putting stuff out on a clothesline? Are you out of your fucking noggins?
Why wouldn't you?
It's 2024.
All of these stretch fabrics are getting wrecked in your dryer.
It's my stretch fabrics. I'm not really too worried about my stretch fabrics, to be honest with you.
Because all you wear are these little matching workout outfits. Your little sports bras and your little leggings.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. I wear Lulu. I wear Aloe. I wear... What else? I wear anything that you can buy at Erewhon clothes-wise.
Cute. Such cute things there.
Such cute things.
Such cute things.
Yeah, and obviously like Whole Foods, when I don't have time, I buy their clothes too.
Ew, 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 ew.
Sick.
Sick. Nasty.
So how are things with your son?
I'm great friends with him.
Are you?
I am.
Because you didn't, did you not like?
I ended up raising him.
Oh my God. So it's not like he's been like,
he hasn't been a stranger to me. We never said that. So,
but you said unearthed.
Unearthed because I haven't seen him in a year.
A year?
I haven't seen him in a year.
You should have read the rest of the text.
What are you doing texting me this massive fucking like?
I'm true, Lily. Honestly.
Please, Lily.
I'm sorry. I was trying to get your attention.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to spend time with a young woman.
You know, you could have just said that. You didn't have to send me literally, I mean, I'm looking at about 42 paragraphs here in between voice memos.
Here, you know what?
I'm going to play one of the voice memos you sent me right now. I'm going to play it right now.
Lily, please answer me. I'm sitting outside of a gas station and I'm scared to go in. I'm hungry, and I'm not really sure what to do with this situation with my son from my past. He's very angry. He's getting a certificate I don't think he is qualified to receive, and I just need some... I need a friend. I need a friend. I need a girlfriend to eat out with, to go to concerts with, and someone to exercise with. I just feel so lost right now.
Who are you talking to?
Candy, go back to sleep.
I'm going to stop it right there. That message is haunting. What do you mean when you say your son got a certificate you don't feel he's qualified for? What the fuck does that mean? Candace?
He's getting certified to teach hot yoga. And I just don't think that this is a smart move for him. I don't think he's qualified.
She's worried he might inherit some of her hydration issues.
Oh my, I mean, I love you both.
Are you exhausted?
I love you both, but like, it's like, I already have my mom and adding you two into my life sometimes, it's just
you're
like,
a little younger than your mom.
Yeah.
They have about like maybe
6 months younger than your mom.
Maybe 5 years younger, maybe 10.
That's a lot. That's pretty good.
You're giving the same energy as her to me. Like, you're leaving me these voices. I just don't have time. I mean this with love. I don't have time when you leave me these kinds of messages. Like, I don't need to know that he should almost be getting his like hot yoga certification and you don't feel like it's justified or he's ready. I love you, but like also you have Candy. Like, you don't need. And then Candy, I've been meaning to talk to you too. Like, I get this very long voicemail from you the other day. I'm going to play it.
What scent is that?
Lilac.
Oh. And this is good for headaches?
Huh? I think.
Okay. No. Should I use it? I'm scared.
What? Candy, if you have a headache, you gotta do something about it.
Man, if you're gonna hang out in the CVS aisle, you gotta keep the
Go fuck on. Yourself!
I'm going to stop it right there. Was that a butt dial?
What's that?
You didn't mean to call me, right? When you called me then?
No, I meant.
You meant for me to hear that conversation?
I thought you might want to hear a slice of our life.
Okay, you guys, seriously, I'm not, I love you both, but like, we just need to adjust expectations. I like hanging out with you for drinks, for cocktails once every 2.5 years. Or like you come on my pod and like we have fun. But like, I'm not like going to be that kind of gal. Like I had to have this same conversation with Brett. I'm not that kind of gal for you. Actually, Brett left me a voicemail too. I'm going to play this really quickly here. Hold on. Brett, there we go. Play.
Lily, let me in. I have all the milk. I know you're having stomach issues.
I'm going to stop it right there. It gets so disturbing after that.
That is really sick.
Really sick stuff. He's trying to feed me whole fat milk. Whole fat out of a bag.
Oh, it's so funny that you're saying that.
Because we're going to get into how the book changed your life.
Oh, that's right.
That we're doing.
That's right.
This is a new thing that I'm doing to make my life better, inspired by Chrissy's, mono diet.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm drinking raw milk. Raw, full fat milk.
What does it mean when it's raw?
That means that it's not flash
uncensored.
It's uncensored, not flash fried,
not chilled.
It's,
yeah, you want it hot.
You want it.
I don't want it hot. I don't.
You want it body temperature.
So you're drinking hot milk all day long?
All day long. 3 quarts of it every single day.
Candy.
The proof is in the pudding. Look at her skin.
I mean, you do look good, but I know you've gotten work done.
I look tan, right?
Yeah, you look like you've been fried in the tanner for fucking years.
Well, when you're grabbing milk straight from the teat, the face is sort of having to be positioned up towards the sun. So, yeah.
Wait, are you slurping it from a cow's udder? Like,
I mean, on the days that I'm lucky enough. I mean,
lucky enough.
This is why I think I relate to this book so much. So Chrissy, tell me. By the end of the book, she's back on the farm.
Right.
Back who she really is. You cannot outrun your past and who you are. I'm the same way. I'm back on the ranch.
You are?
With my animals. And I am getting milk when I can, straight from the teat. And when I'm not able to do that, I put it in a glass container and I heat it up on the stove.
Wow, would you look at that? That's actually
3 quarts a day can change your life if you just let it, Lily.
What? And your stool is fine?
It zips straight. It zips right out. Candy will tell you that. It zips.
Why would Candy tell me that? Because she sees it.
We live together.
We live together and we go to the bathroom together.
I didn't realize you guys are back living together. So you're on the ranch too.
We are, and we have a bathroom for two people.
Oh, so there's like side-by-side toilets?
A bathroom for two
not
people.
Side-by-side. They have little swinging saloon doors on them. There's two little cubby holes for toilets with little saloon doors.
That's fine.
To conceal so that we have privacy.
Mm-hmm. We're not disgusting.
Yeah. And then two sinks next to each other.
Two mirrors.
Two little weigh scales.
Two scales.
Two little bath mats.
Yeah, we weigh ourselves morning, 7 a.m., 1:30, 10 p.m.
Why would you need to weigh yourself that much?
Just to keep track of everything.
Yeah, for our data log.
I feel like I have to say this.
Oh, here we go.
Well, this is like we're experiencing a lot of gentian on this podcast right now. Generational tension.
A lot of what?
Gentian. Yes. Generational tension.
Oh, okay.
Because I love and respect you guys, and I know that you are both like feminists
in
your day.
I think we are the same generation, though.
No, I'm much younger.
Are you?
Yes. And just because my face doesn't look like a clown, a tan clown, doesn't mean I'm your age.
I thought we were the same age.
When we saw you at that store. Yes.
What are you talking about?
Maybe
when
5 years.
Saw you at the store. I said that's. I remember vividly saying to Candy, "That woman is our age."
And I said, "Well, maybe a year or two younger."
Ladies, no, I love you, but I'm not going to get work done the way that you have. And I have like, I'm all about live your life, do your thing, but just be honest about it. Both of you have the most plastic surgery I've ever seen of anybody in my entire life. You're both fried to a crisp, tan-wise.
I've had one chemical peel.
And you're both eating really scary anorexia diets that are a little
dark, like this raw milk situation. Uh-huh. It's giving, I mean, and we're, I think Chrissy.
It's giving health. It's giving vibrancy. It's giving a high quality.
How living. Much do you sleep?
I am comfortable with getting 4 hours of sleep.
Four?
I'm comfortable with that. That's what my body wants.
My body wants 14.
Wow. So you're sleeping all the time and you're not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
That's why we work well together in our house.
I know that you guys were feminists in your day, and I know that you...
Feminism was very different in 1988.
I know it was. And I do think this book is applicable in that way. Lots has changed since y'all were in charge. And
I haven't gotten the memo. I'm not still in charge.
No, you live on a ranch and you shit side by side with your best friend. You're not in charge
not
anymore.
At the same time.
Rarely.
I mean, sometimes it lines up like that.
Let's talk about the end. Oh. So obviously her daughter, she leaves her daughter to play with the squirrels. We don't know at that time that it's, she actually meant she's leaving her daughter in Central Park.
Forever.
Yeah. Then she goes back to the ranch to start. And that's when she, you know, she's living a very similar lifestyle to you guys. She's back out there. And then she talks about her daughter finding her.
Very angry.
Very
angry. Both women are very angry.
Furious with each other.
One at being found. And then one because it took so long to find.
Right.
It's pretty interesting.
It is. It's pretty really deep. And she gives her daughter the note that she found. And
Was a recipe.
It was a recipe, as it turns out. On the back was a recipe for her famous kale salad. Winter greens.
Roasted carrots.
Sweet potato.
Maple syrup vinaigrette.
Goat cheese.
And pepitas.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Pepitas. And 2 ounces of grilled chicken.
With a little bit of wild rice.
1 ounce of sheep's milk feta.
That's a lot of cheese.
4 ounces of provolone cubed.
And then 1 ounce of extra sharp cheddar grated on top.
Four ounces of cheese stick shredded.
Is that just
mozzarella stick?
Parmesan crisps.
And then those little mozzarella balls.
The small ones.
To taste. On that.
And then the dressing. 4 ounces.
Blue cheese.
1 blended carrot.
A small dash of brie.
Sesame seeds to taste.
Pre-crushed.
Pepitas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
And to dust it off, a fine truffle goat. Cheese.
Mac and cheese
on top of it.
Yeah. God, that was so, and they both, it ends with them both. She Chrissy makes a plate of her salad for her daughter and they sit down and they eat in silence. And that's how the book ends.
And every time I read it, I'm laughing and I'm crying.
Oh, why were you laughing?
I'm laughing just at the absurdity of life.
That's a good point.
And then crying at just how devastating.
It's truly very devastating. It's a really sad ending.
Yeah.
Just kind of chilling, to be honest. Both of them just sitting, eating alone.
True wisdom is being able to contain multitudes.
Do you talk to your kids, Candy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm busy raising
a friend. Okay. It's time to get into what we are reading next, because unless you both would like to comment on how this book really changed you, because I do feel like reading this book made me appreciate older feminists like you two. Obviously, we have our disagreements. Obviously, I don't always align with your thoughts on things For example, I know both of you are very adamant that I should never, ever date a short man.
Absolutely not.
Oh, and I'm telling you, it's
okay. Why would you want to is really the question.
Well, Lily, tell me, how tall are you?
5'2".
Okay. So where are the men that are shorter than you?
Well, exactly. But you guys told me that I'm not allowed to date anyone under 6'4".
I stand by that.
I
for the sake of your children.
I would make an allowance for 6'3¾".
Okay. Well, I'll get back to you.
I'd like to share what I'm reading next.
Okay, Candace.
If I may.
Please.
I am reading a book by a friend.
Whoa.
Who lives in the ranch next door to me.
Oh.
He is a self-published radical thinker.
Oh.
And he has published his first novella.
Is that right?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It's called Ranch Hand Goes to Washington.
Oh, a ranch hand goes to Washington. Is he like a senator or something?
No.
Washington State.
Oh, he goes to Washington State to enjoy the wildlife. And
there's ranches up there too.
Absolutely there are. And the weather. And
so you wanted to be in the rain.
Not all of Washington is rainy. That's a misnomer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Showing your ignorance. That was so rude of me to say. I should be more inclusive. Less stereotypical.
What generation is schooling what now?
Wow. You're right, Candy. What are you reading next, Candy?
My journals. I'm going back.
I just felt fascinating. Sick. She reads them aloud to me.
Tell me.
She has them starting back from 1961.
Would you share any of it? Do you have them here?
Yes. Okay. One carrot from a crudité plate. Two steps forward. Look around. Blue. Yellow. Blue. Oh, life is wonderful sometimes.
It's like a Rupi Kaur poem.
I write all of my journals in poetry.
Yeah, it's like a lot of like onomatopoeia mixed with...
Crunch, crunch, crunch goes the carrot. Crunch, crunch, crunch goes the celery. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, that's a raw potato.
That's another one of them. That was good.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite ones.
That's one of your favorites? Mm-hmm. There's not as much like dirt. Like I guess I was hoping for like, you know, who you hooked up with, who, you know, the people you've met, the drugs you've done.
Sliced through his skin.
Candy.
That sounded, wait, no, keep reading that one.
No. I don't want you getting in trouble again.
I was talking about deer hunting.
Oh, okay. It sounded a little more than that. I am reading, I'll get into it, a book about patio furniture.
Is it fiction?
It is fiction.
Wow.
I heard you say are you reading the famous book Fatio Furniture?
Yeah. Fatio Furniture. It's about a piece of patio furniture that's fatter than all the others. And
I was confusing it with Fatio Furniture, which is about it's the book I've read about fads in patio furniture through the years.
Oh, no. This one is like, honestly, there's a lot of parallels to The Whale. It's about a really big piece of patio furniture.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie. It's a really, really good movie.
Mm-hmm. Or the play? Which one?
And the play. First, this was Fatio Furniture was a play. And it was so captivating that they made it into a really good movie that feels like a play.
It's beautiful.
Mm. I think it stars Brendan.
The Whale reminds me of my son.
Oh, no. How so?
Well, how do you think?
Is he fat?
No. Yeah, well, he is. He's larger. Well, I love that. I take it back. He's...
What?
I love my son. And I love that he's getting into fitness.
Good for you. That was important.
I'm sorry.
Is he dying?
I short-circuited.
Is he dying? Is he sick?
He No, he's getting certified. He's doing really, really, really well. Really, really well. I'm really, really proud of him. I feel like I'm just getting hot.
Oh, God. Are you okay? Oh, God. You two.
A lot of tragedy.
I mean, so much tragedy and devastation. And I'm actually really glad that we didn't get too in it because I don't want to fight with you again. I would love to have you on again soon. And, but I do think you two need to be a little bit more honest with yourselves. I'll just say that right now. And you can start by admitting, Candy, I'll give you two options. You can admit to stabbing your husband on the helicopter or that you had plastic surgery.
Ooh.
I did have plastic surgery on a mole.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. We're done. That's it. I'm done. To both of you, Candace St. Dennis and Candy Victoria Nay Winston.
Bye-bye.
I'm not done yet. Oh, sorry. I hope.
Bye-bye.
No, I'm not. Please. I hope that you keep enjoying books like this.
And stop.
No, Brett, I'm not done. Reading this book with both of you and chatting it through. So well. Would you?
I think it went really well, Brett.
Round of milks?
Brett, are you? Yeah, I was going to ask, are you hungry, Brett?
Jesus.
Absolutely.
Round of milk is fucking sick. To the
really,
listener.
I'm happy to get to warm yours up.
I hope you keep turning the pages. I don't want warm milk. And I hope you find the book that changes your life. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Shut up. Wow, what an incredible episode. Huge thank you to my guests, Katie Follin and Carrie Barrett. For more from Carrie, check out Big Door Prize on Apple TV Plus. Season 2 is out April 4th, and follow her online at Curry Burrett. And for more from Katie, check out Curb Your Enthusiasm, Killing It, I Think You Should Leave, and follow her at Katie_Fullen. As always, thank you to CBB World, Scott Aukerman, and Brett Morris for making this show happen. And finally, you can follow me, if you don't already, at LILYY on social media. To all my listeners, I hope you keep turning the pages, and I hope you find the book that changes your life.